Thanks for that introduction, Aaron. So I'm still looking where that guy is that you spoke about. We're really excited to be here. My wife's the one who was playing guitar. I was with the baby. That's why I was in the corner with the little one. It's interesting being in ministry together with a little one. You need to hand over and hand off quite quickly. The baby just keeps traveling around. It's quite fun. The Kerk Baba. Like Aaron said, we're from Bloemfontein. I used to lead our evening congregation in Bloemfontein. And just recently, we felt the Lord asking us as an evening congregation to move back with the morning congregation so that we can rather focus on having one stronger congregation so that we can be a blessing to everyone in the region, right? This is part of what we did, so that we can actually be able to send teams to Kimberley and Potchefstroom and what's the other one, Bethlehem, so we can go around to the other Josh Tens in the area, and we can support, we can blow wind in their sails, because guys, there is a dying world outside, and they need church, they need Jesus, but Jesus says he has chosen the church to be the vehicle of that. And unfortunately, over the years, there's been many churches that has not represented Jesus well. And that has caused so many people to be disillusioned with Christianity. And I'm sure for many of you and for many of us, we came out of a place where, I used to be in church, but I'm done with church. It's just Jesus and me. Can I say, you cannot separate the head and the body. You cannot. Now, the Bible speaks about that Jesus is the head of the body. If you cut the head off of the body, you are not, that doesn't work. So we cannot say it's just me and Jesus, but I don't like this church thing. And I hear me, I've been there. If you told me church, I was like, please, don't bring that up. Because we get hurt. Because church is full of people. Like you and I. We've got our stuff. But Jesus says, no, I've chosen church to be my vehicle to bring the gospel to the world. Right, then guys, I want to encourage you this morning, don't give up on church. God is imagining a beautiful church. God is imagining a church that represents him well. And that is what we are doing here. We are saying, Lord, help us reflect you well. Lord, help us be a church that when people walk in here, they say, is this what heaven is like? We're not there yet, but that's where we're going. I want to say, man, get on board. We want to reflect the kingdom well. So, amen. I got excited. Thank you. It's lovely being here. Leonard sends his greetings. He's the guy that leads the morning congregation now. He is overseeing apostolically in this area. He would love to be here. He did. I asked him, hey, don't you want to send a video? He was afraid it might be a bit awkward for him. He wants to meet you guys in person. But he would love to be here. Maybe this year he can still try and get here. But he really needs to plow into Bloemfontein, get to know the people, get things working. Because he can't have that thing falling apart and then try and work in here. You know, that's one of the qualifications of an elder is your family. You must manage your household well. So one of the qualifications, if you want to pull it through, of someone overseeing regions is, well, if your church works well, at least. Right? So he's really plowing in there, doing a great job, and he would love to be here. And I just want to say, some of you know him, some of you don't. I've gotten to know him over the past while. He's such a genuine guy. Like, if you ever can get in here, like, there's something of a leadership gift that is on that man's life. And he's not just, I'm a leader, you know, let me walk in. He's such a genuine. So whenever he comes, receive him well. If we're pulling in a direction, I can say, guys, let's get in. Let's almost get into the slipstream. God is doing something awesome. All right, so I can't wait for him to be here as well. But this morning, I am going to be mainly focusing on Luke 14, right? And the title of my message is, so that the house will be full. I'm not speaking about money. That's usually when you hear a house and full, you think money. It's not about money, don't worry. But this morning, I want to provoke you. I want to stir you up. I want to cause you to go like, man, there's something missing in my Christianity. There's something that Jesus loves that we often criticize. So let's read together. We're in Luke 14, verse 15 to 24. This is Jesus telling a parable, but he says, hearing this, a man sitting at the table with Jesus exclaimed, what a blessing it will be to attend a banquet in the kingdom of God. Jesus replied with this story. A man prepared a great feast and sent out many invitations. When the banquet was ready, he sent his servant to tell the guests, "Come, the banquet is ready." But they all began making excuses. Amen. Aren't we so great at making excuses? It's like, for some people, it's your full-time job, you know, making excuses. I've been there. One said, "I have just bought a field and must inspect it. Please excuse me." Another said, "I have just bought 5 pairs of oxen and I want to try them out. Please excuse me." Another said, "I have a wife. I now have a wife, so I can't come." This is just Bible. I didn't put that in. Verse 21. The servant returned and told his master what they had said. His master was furious, not disappointed, slightly insecure. His master was furious and said, "Go quickly into the streets and alleys and of the towns and invite the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame." After the servant had done this, he reported, "There is still room for more." So his master said, "Go out into the country lanes and behind the hedges and urge anyone you find to come so that the house will be full. For none of these our first invited will get even the smallest taste of my banquet." That is like an intense scripture. And we often just read over it and we miss what's going on here. And I want to give us the back, set the scene. When Jesus is speaking about the master that has this banquet prepared. This banquet essentially is being saved. It's being born again. It's coming into the house of God. It's coming into the kingdom of God. Now when it says the banquet, it means he's sending invites so that we have this banquet table. One day when Jesus comes back, he's going to fetch us for this banquet table. Right? But I want to say it's not just there, it starts here. So a quick disclaimer. This morning, I'm not trying to say we must have a full church and church is the extent of what it means to be a Christian. But no, there's a sense of my relationship with Jesus is the important thing. We don't want to get people into Joshua and we want to get people into the kingdom. But it's through this often. It's as they become part of this family that they enter into the kingdom of God. Right? So just like a disclaimer. So I'm going to be looking at 3 points this morning that I want to unpack for us that we can take out of this passage. So point number one, big is not bad. You know that is gelijk aan teken with the strip. You know what that means? It means is not. So big is not bad. And you're saying like, okay, what do you mean? No, Yaku, where is Yaku? Yaku loves the gym, so he's really saying amen, Paul, big is not bad, you know? Yes, I see Monday morning he's going to go to the gym, he's going to go, yes, Paul said, it's big, it's not bad. But we often, because we sometimes get discouraged or we get disappointed with church, we often say, well, we overreact and we say, I just don't want to be part of a big church. I just don't want to be part of something. I just want me and my little group and I've gotten hurt, so we must just be small. And often what happens as churches grow, We almost get like, I don't like it when it grows because now there's more faces. Now there's more people that I need to get to know. I must say, when we went, our evening congregation, we're 50, 60 people. And we merged, we're like 170, 180. Now I'm like, there's so many new faces. I can't get, but that's not bad. So we sometimes say that if something is big, we say it's unhealthy. We have this default setting. Big means unhealthy, but that's not true. One of the things you'll get with Josh Chen is we often speak about healthy church. We don't just want a big church, we want a healthy church, right? But we can take that to the extreme where we say anything big is unhealthy. Not at all, right? In fact, you can go to the other extreme. Anything that is too small could also be unhealthy, right? I grew up with my brain not producing enough growth hormone. That is why I am short, right? So I was in and out of hospitals for the most of my younger life because I wanted to figure out what was wrong because I was small. Something was wrong. I'm not growing as I'm supposed to. So, you know, we can't swing it to the extreme. Now, I know cancer is also it's growth that grows too quickly and it's just, that can also be. But we need to be a people that is aligned with the Word of God. It's saying, okay, well, we can't just because I like small, I can't say, well, I don't want to be part of a big church. But just because I love big and flashy, I can't say, no, I can't be part of something smaller. Does that make sense? Right? That's a backdrop. But do you understand? Well, you can go to Luke 14, verse 23, please. Let's just unpack this quickly. So his master said, go out into the country lanes and behind the hedges and urge anyone you find to come so that the house will be full. This is challenging for us because some of you might have been in churches where you felt almost abused, that if you don't invite someone to church, you feel like you've been looked down at. But don't swing it to the other extreme. God wants his house to be full. And guys, there's space here. I mean, we can pack a lot of chairs. We can even move the band on the stage. We have a lot more chairs. We can pack it into there. And there's room for more people to come into the banquet hall. There's always room in God's house. And you got to hear me this morning. God wants his house to be full. Not just numbers. I know, again, don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying we must just have people sitting on the chairs and that is the extent of it. But it starts with people coming and then they become part of the kingdom of God. Right. The implication of that is that we do the inviting people, but I'll get there in a moment. Do you realize that the early church was a mega church? I know I'm stepping on toes. You know, you can't use the word mega church in 412. Eh? That's like as like a swear word because we're all so, you know, we must be small. Right? And look, we will, as a value, we often, as we grow, we will often plant out more congregations because we want to have a sense of family, right? But if it can be healthy and be big, it's fine. Big is not the same as bad, right? So just like we should get that out of our head. Once we grow and we feel like, yes, no one knows anyone and we're losing that sense of family, then we revisit because we want to stay healthy in a sense of family. But the early church in Acts 2, verse 41, those who believed that Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. The first church was 3,000 people. I'm thinking like, yeah, you know what? I'm struggling often with like 170 to just get to everyone. I'm like, Lord, how? That's crazy. Why do I tell God, I don't like a big church, so I won't invite people to church? This is not about what I like, right? It's about what Jesus likes. And he likes people getting saved. He likes people coming into the kingdom of God. However that looks. Right? So the early church started with 3,000 people. Then in Acts 4, verse 4, it continues. The plot thickens. But many of the people who heard their message believed it. So the number of believers now totaled about 5,000 men. This is men, right? Now you're thinking of wives and children, not counting women and children. 5,000. How many of us, if we visited that church, would have walked in and said, oh, another mega church? Yeah. Right? I know, honestly, this is me personally. I know. If I walked in there with my understanding and my disappointments and my current hurt about church and church background, I would walk in there and say, I don't want this because it's too big. Not even giving it a chance. Not even saying, well, maybe God is here. I know I'm stirring the pot and I know I'm making you quite uncomfortable. That is the point. Because I'm not saying, guys, let's be a mega church. I'm saying, guys, God wants his house to be full. God wants his house to be full. You know, often, I wasn't sure if I'm going to share this. You don't need to put up the scripture. But in Philippians 1, verse 15 to 18, Paul writes, and he says, some preach the gospel out of selfish ambition. Some preach the gospel out of rivalry. He's basically saying some people are preaching the gospel to be rich. Some people are preaching the gospel for money and for fame. Some people are preaching the gospel for a big church so that they can look great. And then Paul says, but what does it matter? The gospel is being preached. I read that and I felt like, yes, Lord, my heart's not there. I far too easily criticize. And I'm not saying we should be blind and not acknowledge, you know, when people do dodgy things. Don't hear what I'm not saying. But we cannot point the finger. We must start pointing the finger to Jesus. I mean, forget about what they're doing. What does it matter? The gospel is being preached. I felt the Lord, like, really, just, you know, when the Lord comes in, he gives you a bit of a slappuccino. He convicts you. And you're like, oh, Lord, I'm sorry. I felt the Lord saying to me, Paul, stop pointing the finger to mega churches if you don't even evangelize? And I was like, oh, Lord, oh, I'm sorry. It's easy to blame. And then that, for me, I would blame because somehow I think that takes me off the hook of what God wants me to do. Right? Don't we do that easily? Now, we might say, guys, next week we've got a fun day. Let's invite people. And then before you know, my heart says, no, I don't want to invite people, you know, because, you know, then we just get another mega church. No. Don't worry about what they're doing out there. God wants me to pull people into the family. Right? If there's one thing that you can take out this morning, don't worry about what they're doing out there. What does God want you to do in here? If we can just focus on this and get this right, if we can just reflect Jesus in this room right, man, people will start to get to know Jesus. I know this is challenging. I'm probably going in like head first. You may just stop me, Aaron. Okay, he said I can go. Point number two. Who gets invited? Right. If we look in further in this story, we see these three phases. Because often what happens, we read this story, and we read about the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. And we think that the point of the story is we must just invite, you know, the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, right? And that is part of it. But we miss out a lot of what is being said here. So firstly, what we see is the master sending an invite, the normal invite, to those that you would normally invite into your circles, right? So in Luke 14, verse 17, when the banquet was ready, he sent his servant to tell the guest, come, the banquet is ready, right? So people, so what this would mean, like on a biblical point, this was the Jews, because what you'll see now in this point is how this story is actually a picture of what Jesus did on earth. Because Jesus came and he gave an invite to the Jews, you know, the people that God would normally invite to his party. You know, when you have a braai or party, you have a guest list in your mind, like people that you would normally invite, like your friends and, you know, maybe some colleagues. Or if you ever get married, you've got a guest list. You can only invite so many people. So now you have, I remember when myself and Gabby got married, we sat with that guest list, right? And that was, I mean, for those of you that's married, the guest list is like, it tests your engagement already, you know? Because we can only do so many, and I want these people, and, you know, she wants these people, you know? And then we can only do so much. So the normal invites were the Jews, those that thought they were right with God, but aren't. It's those, the religious folks, those that are in church, those that go through the motions, but they don't have a relationship with Jesus. Because you do know that you, somewhere in your life, need to give your life to Jesus. You do not get born a Christian. Right? I don't know. That you need to somewhere bow your knee before the Lord and say, I choose to follow you. I grew up in a Christian home. That doesn't mean anything. I guess great values and it's great, you know, principles. But I need to repent of my sin and turn to God. No matter how good of a person I think I am. Right? So, and that's what Jesus came. He came to the Jews and he told them, repent. And they were like, whoa, we're the people of God. Why are you telling us to repent? You know, that's why they killed John the Baptist. Because he was saying, you Jews need to get baptized. And they were like, what are you saying? We're already the people of God. Now you want us to be baptized. Anyway, so the first one is like, who do we invite? It's friends, it's family, it's neighbors, it's those in our immediate circles. The first invitation goes to those that we connect with often, right? But the problem is those are always the guys that have excuses, isn't it? Your neighbor, like, no, sorry, I can't come. And then I've got something on tomorrow. And then when you drive to church, you see him standing in his kitchen with his coffee. And you're like, yeah, sure, you've got something on. You know? So that's the first group of people. The second group of people, the poor, the crippled, the blind and lame. In Luke 14, verse 21, the servant returned and told his master what they had said. His master was furious and said, go quickly into the streets and alleys of the towns and invite the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. And when we read this, we often feel like, okay, we must now go and, you know, go to random places and invite the poor, the crippled. But this is a metaphorical speech about the outcasts of Israel. So what Jesus did is he came, he gave the invite to the Jews, they rejected him. And what did Jesus start doing? He went to the outcasts. He went to those that were rejected by society. It might mean physically crippled and lame and blind, but it's also sometimes like a metaphorical, like those that are broken, those that are alone, those that no one see, those in the corners, those that don't fit in. And Jesus is saying, man, invite them. Those that you would not normally spend time with, those that you often want to avoid. Jesus is saying, invite them, because there's room in my house. There's room in my house. So who is that? Like I said, it's those that are hurting. It's those that the world push aside. It's those that the world criticize. It is those that, you know, oh, I don't want to give examples maybe. It's those that struggle to fit in. Because God's got room in his house. And friends, I want to say God is asking us as his servants to invite those into God's house. And in the third group of people, anyone we find. See, it's our immediate friends. It's our immediate family. It's our immediate neighbors. It's those that we notice that are broken and in need of a savior. But then it goes further, anyone we find. In Luke 14, verse 23. I'll just read it here. It's basically that same scripture. So his master said, go out into the country lanes and behind the hedges and urge anyone you find to come so that the house will be full. Anyone you find. Who's anyone you find? Anyone you find. At the sports fields. The parents, if you're watching sports, you're watching your kids' sports. Parents next to you. You just bump into them, you meet them like, hey, I'm Paul, how's it? You want to come to church tomorrow? Because this is what Jesus is saying, right? He's saying, invite anyone. There's room in my house. Invite anyone you find. No, it's in the restaurants, the waiters, the managers, in like the people in the table next to you. And I know some of you, the introverts, are going like, oh, no, stop speaking. No, you know. I know it's challenging. I'll give a quick testimony just now. But it's anyone we find. God wants those to come into the house. Look, and often people come because you invited them, and maybe they come again because someone was friendly, but hopefully along the way they get to know Jesus. I don't really care why people come. I care about why they stay. One of my close friends was invited to church by a girl, and he really liked the girl. So he said, like, okay, you know, he's going to go. All right? It was a bit of a flirt to convert type of scenario. No, don't, you know, stay away from that as far as possible. But he came for the wrong reason. He went to church because a girl he liked invited him. He had, in his words, he had no intention of staying at that church. And he got saved. Jesus touched his heart and he realized he needs a savior. And this guy is a very great guy, morally outstanding. He doesn't do wrong things. And then Jesus said, you are in need of a savior. He gave his life to the Lord and he has made an impact in my life and in a lot of people around our lives. He actually helped planted the church in Bloemfontein way back. I'm like, wow. I don't care why people come. I care about why they stay. You know, the restaurants, at the gym. I know the gym is quite interesting. For me, gym is difficult to invite people because everyone's got headphones on. You know? You know, it's a bit. I sometimes just want to take the headphones off, like, "Hey, how's it?" You know, but I've got headphones on because I'm shy. You might see me now as like I'm up front and I'm speaking. But ask my wife. I don't know why. I'm an extrovert on the one hand, but on the other hand, if there's a lot of people I don't know, I'm like, I'm scared. Even if we're in a shop, like we're in Checkers or wherever, you know, I would always ask her, "Can you ask the lady that works here where's the shirts?" She's like, "Just come on, man up. Just ask the guy." I'm like, no, you must ask. I'm quite shy. I don't know why. I'm intimidated I don't know why I'm like that. I'm sure many of you are like that as well. Eh? You really want to ask a question like, where's the socks, you know? But you don't know. You'd rather just walk up and down in the aisle instead of just asking the person that works there, that gets paid to answer your question for you. Right? We're shy. But man, invite those people. Invite those people. I'm making a habit of it. There's a water shop close to us where I fill up our bottles of water. And I've started to connect with the guy that works there. And I'm at the point now where, you know, my wife likes to use my special water that I use for my coffee machine. And you know, and I've thought like, you know what, I'm going to let her use the special water, because then I can fill up, I can go and fill up the bottles more. So I can go and speak to that guy, because I'm going to invite him to church. And I'm trusting that the Lord will come and save him. It's like, you know, small things like that. A random person, I'm going to invite him and trust that he comes into the kingdom of God. And a quick testimony, on our way here to Kimberley, I was busy just reading through this scripture, and I was saying, Lord, is there anything else you want to speak to me about this? You know, I want to present it well. And I felt the Lord saying to me this, that he, you know when you invite someone and they say no, I'm sure it has happened to you. You say, hey, you want to come to church? And they're like, nah, church is not really my thing. You know, whatever excuse they give you. It's always a bit like personal. It's a bit like, ouch, you know, I don't know. But the Bible was saying that when the servant came to the master and told the master everything that had happened, you know, that he invited people and they had excuses, it says that the master was furious. He also experienced this sense of, man, this sucks. I don't like this. This is like, why aren't they coming? I'm doing all of this for them. You know what I mean? Imagine Jesus dying for people. He died for you and me. And then still there's people that reject him. And you know he knew that, right? When he was on that cross, he saw Aaron's following him wholeheartedly, but he also saw some random person completely rejecting him. And he says, well, I'm still going to die so that they can if they turn to me. That is crazy. I mean, I don't know if I would give up much to someone that I know is going to reject me, right? Anyway, and then I felt the Lord saying, okay, well, we must invite people. And the Lord told me, okay, Paul, if you're going to preach about it, you better walk in it. And I'm like, okay, Lord. And then on one of our groups on the way here, I saw some of them were in Plato. They stopped at Plato, the coffee shop. And I thought like, oh, okay. I turned to my wife. I'm saying, okay, when we get to Kimberley, we drive straight to Plato, right? And when we get there, I'm going to invite people to church, right? And we've got a small little Plato in Bloemfontein. So in my mind, I thought it's like this small little Plato. And I told her, I'm going to walk in there. And I'm just going to be like, askisog, sorry, andag, can I just invite all of you guys to church tomorrow? I was like full of confidence, right? And I walked in. And as I walked in, it was like quite a big Plato. I was like, oh, it's a lot of people. I was like, Lord. And I walk in. The first table is like four Muslim people sitting there with the kubai. Oh. And I froze. So I didn't walk up to them because I was scared. I am just like you. I'm also scared of these things. But I invited two people in that coffee shop. Right? I said, like, I'm going to invite people. So I walked up to the first lady, and I realized now, is you know, one of the big churches here had a massive invite drive yesterday. So I was like, oh, probably the wrong day for me to invite. Because the one lady I walked up to, like, hey, can I invite you to church? And she was like, oh, no, please. No. I'm like, yeah, sorry. Okay, you don't have to come if you don't want to. Right? But I invited two people. Right? Because the point is this, I have seen when we invite people, they often don't come. But Jesus sends people when we do what he wants us to do. Right? We have this idea that if I invite someone and they say no, it's like the end of the world. And what's the use of me inviting? God just wants us to do what he wants us to do. You know, he's saying, do this. And all we do is we do that. And he does the rest. Right? We don't need to get them saved in a sense like, you know, we make wrong. Just do what the Lord is asking us to do. And then he will send people. Right? When there's a culture of we want to see people get saved, we want to see people come in. When a new person walks in here, like I was quite bad at this until Leonard quite, you know, it addressed me a bit on it. When new people walk in here, are we like, hey, welcome to the dinner table. Welcome to God's house. Or is it like, oh, someone new, let me just hide away, right? Man, this is the place. If you're a member of this church, man, this is your house. It's God's house, but you know what I mean? Like, they're coming into your house. It's like, welcome in. It's not Aaron's house. Aaron's house is somewhere else. This is our house. So invite anyone. And I told you that story so that you can see. And I know what we're going through. You know, I'm going to do it. And there's a big group. You run away. I know. And my last point is urge them in. And on the one hand, look, if you can at least just invite someone to church. And I'm just speaking about church. You know, there's way more that we can unpack here. So don't hear what I'm not saying. But as a standard, if we can just invite someone to church, that is good. But there's also a sense that the master is saying, urge them to come. Don't just send them a WhatsApp, hey, we've got church, would you like to come? You know? That is good. If you at least start doing that, that's great. But in verse 23 says, urge anyone you find to come so that the house will be full. The master is not just asking us to invite people or send them a message, but to urge them in, to think outside the box. How can you know that word urge? The Greek word there. Here's my Greek word for today, Adams. The Greek word there means to insist, to persuade, to compel. And not manipulate, right? You know, we're not manipulating people in. But we urge, we compel, and we persuade. That means even if we need to bribe Buddha dogs at a school sport dag, you know, it's like a sport day. We set up a little thing there. We bribe Buddha dogs. We hand out free Buddha dogs. You say, hey, you know, come to church. No, there's something of a we're inviting people. We're urging people. We are going outside of the box because we want people to come. We want people to get saved. I used to be, when I see people handing out flyers or handing out Buddha dogs, honestly, I was like, oh, no, man. They must come for the right reasons. You know, why are you just want people at your church? You know, I used to be super critical about it. But the Lord's saying, man, stop your criticism and invite people. Right? I know some good friends of mine that got saved because they were invited on a campus through someone that gave them a hot dog and said, hey, we're Brian Booties, you know, we're part of this church. Would you want to come to Josh Chen or whatever church? Right? And then it's like, oh, well, these people are nice. They gave me free food, you know. Or sometimes churches have these events. Like a fun day. Huh? You've got a fun day coming up next Sunday. Man, this is the perfect opportunity to invite people. Say, come, bring your kids. There's a jumping castle and something, right? There's a jumping castle. I mean, that's the best way to persuade a parent. Now, come, your kids can play. You can leave them. they can be over there. You can have a time for yourself. You know, that's like such massive incentive. But often, you hear what I'm saying? If they come because there's a jumping castle, but they stay because they found Jesus, come on. Right? Come on. We often say, like, no, man, they must come for the right reason, you know? They must die to live, you know? It's like, you know, Jesus preached and he fed the 5,000, 3,000. He fed the people, he did the things, and he does say what he wants to say. He does criticize, and he says, oh, you guys are just following me for the food. But he still uses that opportunity to preach. He still invites them. He still preaches the gospel to them. Jesus never said, no, you can't listen to me because you're just here for the food. You know, he said, no, come, let them come. They're going to leave me tomorrow because I'm going to say harsh things. But let them come. No, so we urge them. Whatever that means. Even if it means handing out flyers on the street. Even if it means going into random coffee shops and then going like, who can I buy a coffee to? Now, walk into a random coffee shop. Go up to the table like, hey, can I pay for you guys' bill? And just make sure it's a small table. I mean, one or two people. You know, so, like five people. You're like, oh. You know? Or you just hang around the counter and when you see someone's going up to put in an order, like, hey, can I get that for you? Oh, yeah, sure. Thanks, man. Yeah? And then you start chatting to them. Whatever we need to do to see people get saved. And we need to have that heart. And folks, I want to remind us, for those of you that are saved, for those of you that have given your life to Jesus, you were once in darkness. You were once the poor, the crippled, the lame. You were once the outcast. And Jesus literally gave his life for you. Jesus literally gave his life for you and I. So we can come into his house. And you realize he's not even asking us to give our lives like to the point of death necessarily in this moment. He's just saying, just invite people. He shed his blood. And all he's asking us to do is invite people in. I want to encourage you, sometimes just put yourself back in your old person's shoes. The old self. You know, the person that used to be broken, going through stuff. Just put yourself in your shoes again. And remind yourself where you were. I often do it where I just remind myself how I was broken, alone, struggling with drugs, needing help. And then someone invited me to church. Someone invited me. And that invite, that power of that invite, I met with Jesus. Remind yourself of that. You can make an impact on people, even if it's just through an invite. Folks, I want to encourage you to dream bigger. Not just of a big church. That's not the point. But dream bigger. What can God do with your life? How many people can God save through your life, through your invites, through your open homes, through your friendliness, through your greeting at the door as people come in? How many? Dream bigger. In Ephesians 3 verse 20, if you can put that one up, please. Now all glory to God, who is able, through His mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Folks, dream bigger. God can do more. God can do more than we trust Him for. God can do more than we can ask for. God can do more than we can think. Imagine a place where thousands get saved. And don't say, oh, I don't want that because then we'll get too big. If they don't get saved, they're going to hell. The alternative is not great. We don't have the luxury to say we like a small church. We don't. We don't have the luxury to say we like a small church. Man, Jesus is asking us to dream bigger. And why do we close our eyes? This morning, I want to appeal to you that maybe you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You might think of yourself as a good Christian. You might think of yourself as an outstanding citizen that doesn't do much wrong. But the question is, have you given your heart to Jesus? Have you had a moment where you turn to Jesus and say, Lord, I surrender my life? Folks, because this morning, there is an invite out for you. There's a seat at the banquet table for you. And I want to create an opportunity, if that is you, with every eye closed, do you mind raising your hand and saying, I would like to respond this morning to say, I would want to give my life to Jesus. Is there anyone like that? Is there anyone like that? Don't be shy. Everyone's eyes are closed. Anyone like that? That's cool. So I'm assuming that most would follow Jesus in his room. Or if not following, at least looking at, yo, I want to get to know Jesus. And folks, for the rest of us, I want to ask, can you commit with me this morning to say, man, I want to be a servant in God's house that brings people in. I want to be one that it just invites. God will save the people. He's just asking us to invite them to the banquet table. He's just asking us to invite them to community. He's just asking us to invite them to the fun day. Let God do the rest. Maybe just in our hearts, right? Just would you just make that commitment with me in your heart, saying, Lord, I want to be used by you. I want to have boldness to step out. And then maybe if we can just for a moment, if there's anyone that feels like, yes, Paul, I hear what you're saying, but I'm struggling. I want to do it, but I can't get myself to invite people. I'm scared. I'm frightened. I chicken out. If there's anyone like that, I would like to just pray for you where you are. If there's anyone that's saying, I hear what you're saying, but I would like just prayer for boldness. Do you mind just raising your hand if that's you? Awesome, thank you. Thanks. Those that responded, do you mind just standing? Just those that responded. Now, this is already your first step of boldness. If there's anyone else, you can also stand if you feel like, Lord, I need you to help me with this boldness. I want to say, guys, I'm also standing in this. Because when I walked into that plate and I saw that table and I chickened out, I'm like, Lord, you need to come and sanctify me. You need to help me become more like Jesus. And I did invite people, but I want to be bold that I never chicken out. So, Father, I want to come and pray. If you're sitting next to someone that's standing, just maybe put your hand on their shoulder. And you know, Father, I want to come and pray for those that responded this morning. Oh, Lord, that you would come and stir up a boldness in our hearts, God. Oh, Lord, I pray that you would come and break our hearts for the lost world. That you would come and break our hearts for the outcasts, for our neighbors, for our colleagues, those that do not know you.
Lord, would you stir up a passion in our hearts for them? We want to see your house full. We want to, not just for the sake of it being full, but so that people will be saved, so that people will come into the kingdom of God. Oh, Lord, I pray in this moment for boldness, God. A boldness, Lord. An opportunity. Oh, Lord, I pray for opportunities this week to be bold. Lord, and you know where each of these people are at, that you would meet them where they are at. That you wouldn't just throw them in the deep end, but you would start with one conversation. One cashier that they can invite. One colleague. One neighbor. Lord, I pray that you would stir up this in us. Lord, because we want to live pleasing to you. We want to do what you've asked us to do. Amen. Amen. Amen, folks. I know this is challenging. Like I said, I wanted to provoke us. If you've got any questions, concerns, or you struggle with anything that I said, I know what I said wasn't necessarily as balanced as it could be. But I wanted to like just push us into it. Like, come on, we can do it. Dream big. Dream big. God can do much of your life if you say yes, Lord. Amen.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Paul. Yeah. It is definitely an encouraging and not the most easiest word, but we appreciate it. And yeah, I believe that we will, that this is a building block for us as a congregation. Yeah, so again, thank you so much. Guys, that's the end of our meeting, but that's not the end of the coffee and the fellowship. So you guys are welcome. I know there's some more coffee. And so let's enjoy that. You don't have to pack up the chairs immediately, because it feels like people get chased away then. So let's enjoy a coffee before we start packing up. All right. Amen.